just like how it sounds, like just because we're stuck in the middle of, you know, the middle, basically an island in the middle of nowhere, it doesn't mean you can't make a noise that the whole world can hear, that you can't branch out and you can't like be somebody.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy, Joe Off The Rock, and you are listening in to the Kingdom Games Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Kingdom Games fam. This is your boy, Joe Off The Rock, and I am here today. I'm super excited to have Maya Uso, all the way from the state of Oahu, Hawaii. Oahu, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yes, sir. And if you haven't seen him online on YouTube or on Facebook, I don't know where you're hiding. Get out.
Don't waste your time.
Rock and check him out. This is Russell Satele. Hey, what's up, my Uso? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Uso? Thank you for having me, man. I'm doing dandy, man. How are you doing?
Oh, man. It's a good time out here in American Samoa because we got no COVID cases, you know?
Yeah, Ross, that's really good. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
And, I'm proud of that. That's good stuff.
I see you guys are slowly removing, getting out of the lockdowns. How's that been?
Oh, bro, it's been hectic. Like, I never thought I'd live in a time where almost everything in your town is closed. Wow. Everything on island is just closed. Well, when it first started out, it was just a ghost town, and like they only had essential workers working. So a lot of the, you know, the store clerks and all them, they were still working. The people that work in the warehouse were still working. I'm a security guard, so I don't know how I fit into that, but yeah.
You're essential,
I was still
bro.
Working. I'm essential, yeah. I got to protect these properties with my laser beam eyes.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Hey, so I was working, but yeah.
If you don't know, I haven't even gotten into his bio. Russell Satele is a Samoan boy, born out of California, raised in Hawaii, Mililani. And he's initially started with, I don't want to get that wrong, but did you initially start with Lethal Giggles?
Lethal Giggles.
And then you got a new, formed this new show, New Hawaii. Right.
Yeah.
And then now you do also, you know, your own thing under your personal brand name. Russell Satele what do you consider yourself, a comedian online? Is like
I mean,
what is the label they give you? What do they label you online? Comedian, or you know, you love to make these skits and shows, and they're really funny, man. You guys are super funny and hilarious. And they hit home.
I mean, it's a lot of, like, when I first started this thing out, it was initially for fun. Mm-hmm. And I collabed with a bunch of people that felt the same way. And from doing that, ended up being the birth of our YouTube channels, Lethal Giggles and New Hawaii and all that. And I really don't think I'm funny for anything. I'm honestly doing this thing because it's kind of down the same path I want to go. I want to do acting like full time. So I take it as practice, honestly. I wouldn't consider myself a comedian at all. I like to do stupid videos and put it online and see where it goes from there.
It's interesting, you know, Samoan boy, you know, you did play a little football, so people probably consider you more of an athlete than a comedian. How have you overcome that stereotype, you know?
Those days are over. That's I mean, when you're sitting on the bench like majority of your years, and then you finally get to your senior year, they feel bad for you, like, hey, you can go out and tackle somebody, right? Like, man, coach, I've been trying to do this for the longest time. You just let me get in, boom, touchdown on me. Oh, my bad, coach. Like, it's stuff like that. I love football. I really did. I felt like it taught me a lot of life lessons that I probably wouldn't have learned if I didn't play the sport. You know, you learn a lot about camaraderie. You get to you get teamed up with these random people that become your family at the end of the day, you know, your brothers.
Right.
And you always, it teaches you that you got each other's back. And I felt like it taught me a good work ethic, honestly. Yeah. It gave me a good work ethic from, I started my freshman year. My freshman year was my first year of playing football. And from there, I was like, you know what? I think I want to do this. I think I want to do football full time. I want to try to do whatever it takes to be able to, you know, get to that level of that everybody else, you know, like typical Samoan kids are, that's the number one dream for a lot of them. They want to go to the NFL and they want to play, you know, D1 college football.
Right.
So, I mean, at least for me, when I was growing up over here on the island, there was a lot of Sotelis that were making it big over here in UH. Wow. And they were going to, you know, going to the NFL and everything. Every time I would like for class attendance, people would be asking me, "Oh, are you related to those guys?" And like, and it made me feel special. I was like,
"Yeah,
maybe I didn't know if I was or not, but in my head, I was related to them. Yeah, that's my cousin." I would claim them every time. I was like, "Yep, that's my cousin Hercules," and they'd be like, his name Brashton? Yeah, that one too. Yeah, he's my cousin too. We go far
my
back.
He's Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
it's like everybody in you guys did that video when Tua was taking off, you know, and first coming out of home.
Oh, when Tua was taking off, we're like, yep, that's my cousin, because that's how Paulies are, man. Yeah. They, you know, they got somebody with clout or doing something big.
Yeah,
you know, they wanna they're gonna claim it just to, you know, make them feel good about themselves and stuff. But honestly, that's what I did growing up. And I had the dream, like that was my initial dream at first. I wanted to play football. I probably my freshman year, first year playing football, sophomore year, I ended up getting moved to, actually, they moved me to defense at first because I tried to go out for receiver because I.
Because you're fast.
But you know, I thought I was, man. Like little 5'5" Asians dursing me left and right, man. And I tried the first round. They're like, yeah. What are you going for today, son? And I'm like, oh, I'm going for a receiver. They're like, okay, go line up with the receivers over there. I was like, yeah. And they're like, okay, you're gonna run a route. You're gonna run a streak, and he's gonna toss the ball. I was like, huh? I'm used to it, like tossing ball, you know, throwing ball with your family or friends. But this is the first time I'm actually running a route, trying out for a team. And they're like, okay, ready and go. And I'm sprinting full blown speed. I'm like going. And I look up and the ball already flew over my head. And I was like, okay, well, I got to try again. So I actually got it up to, I finally figured out the speed. I, you know, I worked with the quarterback and I finally got in the right position. But when it came to my hands, boom, literally, bro. And I'm still looking in the air, like looking around for the ball. And that was the day where they told me, you can't catch, go and be defense now. Go and tackle people.
That was that one try. You had that one shot.
That was the one shot I had. And I totally messed that up. And it scarred me. I was like, man, I've always wanted to be a receiver. Oh,
you go. That's just another, like, score that's the touchdowns. Another line for you, your next skit. I'm telling you. That's another one.
Hey,
we all endure that struggle, you know. I play some sports, play, you know, football back in high school growing up. Yeah, you're definitely right. It teaches us, you know, work ethic, you know, it teaches us humility when you're losing, you know.
When you are
winning, you know, sometimes those are great things too, because having that winning mindset, it takes us a long way, you know, regardless of where you are in life, you know, position in life. Mm-hmm. For real.
Exactly.
I love your quote, bro. You on the internet, you got your quote on there. And I was like, oh, this guy got a quote. I love it.
I'm trying to think. I have a
quote. Yeah, bro.
I'm trying to think.
Don't be shy, bro. It says, just because we were born and raised on an island in the middle of nowhere, that don't mean you can't make noise that the whole world can hear.
And honestly, you know who said that quote? I don't know if I quoted them. Like, I don't know if I cited them.
Yeah.
I might get, you know, for plagiarism. But Bruno Mars actually said
okay, because they got it on your name. Google it right now. Maybe man, that's excited by Bruno Mars. And
I probably got to fix that if someone comes and arrests me for plagiarism. I gotta fix
quick. Hey, nothing to it. But what does that mean to you? I mean,
just like how it sounds. Like, just because we're stuck in the middle of, you know, the middle, basically an island in the middle of nowhere, it doesn't mean you can't make a noise that the whole world can hear, that you can't branch out and you can't be somebody. Like, you can definitely be somebody, just because people, a lot of the things that come out of the mainland are like big time, you know, like say Hollywood, the music industry, anything, just anything in general in life, just because, you know, it feels like all the odds are against you when you grow up out here,
right?
In a way, you know, because you definitely have less resources than a lot of these mainland people do. You have a lot of, less opportunities. I feel there's definitely more opportunities up in the mainland. Like for example, with the whole acting thing.
Yes,
there's auditions daily up there. Over here, we'll get auditioned every other month or so. And you got the whole island going for these roles. You know? Everybody wants to be the next Rock, basically, or Jason Momoa.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it was just like an encouraging quote I like to live by.
I love it, man.
Just because you don't have much, you know, doesn't mean you can't make something out of yourself.
No, I agree, because... you know, what that resonates to me is that, you know, being an American is almost even smaller pool. From American Samoa, you got family out here. You got even more limited resources, you know. So, you know, I understand what you mean. And this is why we created this podcast, is to reach out, expand with technology, and use our platforms, our social medias to reach out. And it does suck, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's harder for us to reach out to the people out of Australia, for example, New Zealand, for example. But those guys are coming up, and they're doing their own thing in their own way. They're shining bright like a diamond out there. Like, if you talk about Samoans in New Zealand and Australia, because I've been there, they're like, wow, yeah. Those guys run the rugby. They run the, you know what I mean? They've created this image for Islanders. That's also positive. You know, some might be different than others, but and they just continue to work and grind, and it inspires me. But then when you come to our islands, you know, the smaller Tutuila and then the Hawaii's, we almost have to kind of work, by ourselves. You know, we almost have to kind of know that we our own biggest strengths are within ourselves, like the Hawaii's, the Tutuilas, and the Cali's, but we're all totally different people in a way. You know what I mean? Create somewhere where we can all kind of network and branch, and this platform with the podcast is it. Because you've been to the islands. Everybody's still, we're still keep our traditions and keep our customs, you know, keep our respects when we living out here. But there's that generation of people that are hungry for what's new. So when you guys come out with skits that are speaking to the youth of today with the struggles that we do endure, compared, you know, it does resonate, you know, and you are reaching that population of people that don't have a voice. So I'm like, you know, that's what that means to me, you know, and that's where I wanted you to get on the show, because I definitely feel that there's that missing generation that needs to be heard. You know, us and the guys coming up, it's like, we all want to go to the NFL, but we can't all get that opportunity, right?
not all of us are that blessed. You know, I'm going to go buy my mom a car now. I'm in the NFL.
I mean, like, you get lucky, and now that American Samoa and Hawaii's are being put on the map because of the guys that paved the way, you know, grateful and we're appreciative, but there's still the others that don't do that. And then you've been a testimony of that. And it's exciting to see that you guys are bonding together. You know, when you first started off, it was a couple of you guys, two or three. And now I'm like looking at your skits and you guys are bringing all these guys together.
Yeah, we got like a whole family now. We're like a whole family. We're a whole football team, bro. We got 11s on 11s. Like, oh, this starting 11's in. Let's go. Action. Boom. We're just filming, bro. And I love how that you know, you got people from different walks of life that have the same kind of common mindset, yeah. You know, they have the same goals in mind, which is what I think is special about this whole social media thing that has just popped up, you know. You know, you're able to connect with people that you would never think you would be collabing with.
Right.
People that you never knew that were interested in the same things that you are. So I think we got a good thing going slowly. But yeah.
Well, shout out to you, man. I know you just got your degree recently. What was that in?
Oh, that was in that was in criminal justice. I got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I mean, I was at the point where, because honestly, I was trying to play football.
Yeah.
Coming out of high school, I felt like I had a lot of potential to play college ball, and I had a couple offers from like small schools. But me being the stubborn guy I am, I've always wanted to play for UH and play for like a D1. So instead of taking those smaller offers, I kind of wanted to, you know, walk on. I wanted to walk on to the dream school that I was trying to play for. Ended up walking on. That didn't work out. That was horrible. I think I hyperventilated that day. I thought I was ready, man. I was like training up the yang. I think I gained like a certain 20 pounds, yeah. A good 20 pounds of just like, cause I was going for linebacker at the time. Right. And I gained a good 20 pounds, and I guess my body wasn't used to the adjusting. It wasn't fully adjusted to the whole cardiovascular side of that, right. that sudden weight gain. So when I went out to the tryouts, they had a stretch and stuff. And, we weren't allowed to use the ball because it was like during springtime. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's like a certain rule by NCAA rules. You're not allowed to use the ball. So we ended up just doing like one-on-ones, mm-hmm. kind where they were doing coverage drills. Well, we were doing coverage drills on the wide receivers that were walking on. And we did that. And then we did gassers. We did conditioning. Mm-hmm. So we're running like full gassers, and I think I got to the sixth one. And I was dizzy. They give us like 15 seconds to get down and back, something like that. And I was seeing black. I saw black. I heard like, you know, that ringing sound you get like from a flashbang or something. Bro, I was like, who threw the flashbang? I'm dizzy as a moat right now. And I was trying so hard to keep it all together. Everyone's, and I hear people like, yeah, go, Russell, go. I don't know. I had like a random fan in the stands cheering me on. I was like, yeah, go. So I'm like, oh, don't do that to me. And we got to like six, I think we had 10 gases to do. I got to the sixth one and I nearly collapsed. I got through it, but at the end of it all, I literally would sit by the water. They had like water set out for us. I sat by the water, and it got so bad to a point where they had to call the ambulance to come and check on me. I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. What more can I do? What more can I do to tarnish this reputation I have right now?
And then it was
so they ended up they showed up and they took my temperature, my blood pressure, all the usual things they do. And they were just like, oh yeah, you're just really dehydrated. Yeah. Did you eat anything this morning? And I was like, I was so nervous, I was like, no, I had a banana. I had a banana before we worked out, so maybe that wasn't the best idea. But I just remember feeling like absolute failure that day, bro. That was my – because, I mean, that's my goal. That was my goal. I wanted to play football for UH. And you know how bad you have to be to not make it on the team during that time? Like, UH was not where it was, where it is and where it has been. You know, it was their record was probably like 0-15. it was bad. It was bad. And that kind of like, you know, put things into perspective for me, because I was like, damn, I'm really that trash. Like, I wasn't able to make the team, and they were at their worst, and I still couldn't do it. So I was in a very big drought for, I would say, probably 2-3 months. I was like, what am I going to do with my life now? Like, that was my whole
goal.
That's the whole reason I went to school. And eventually, they dropped the app Vine. I don't know if you had Vine back when they first dropped it. So they dropped Vine, and I was still going to school at the same time. And that's kind of where my inspiration for making these small little videos started. I'd be in college and I have all the time in the world. And so I would just be making stupid skits on the side.
Yeah.
And yeah, eventually, like, it got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm in college. I'm not going to play football, obviously, anymore. I need to figure something out. And the only major that actually interested me that was being offered at the school I was attending was criminal justice. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? They didn't have, like, no theater major or nothing like that, so I didn't end up doing it. And I never would have dreamed that I'd be able to do it if I, you know, because I always wanted to do acting, too, back in high school, but I never really had the confidence to pursue it until I started getting a little more attention from all these Vines and all these videos that we were making.
Yeah.
That's what kind of gave me the inspiration to actually pursue what I feel in my heart I should be doing.
that's powerful, so bro.
I ended up finishing my degree in criminal justice, and now I'm just kind of at that weird point where I'm figuring it out, but I have no doubt that something's gonna hit eventually.
Everybody that is awesome and amazing has that in the back of their mind, right? And it's just a matter of persevering. You know, you see those videos all the time where Grow Rich, they talk about, you know, it's the guys that never give up. They're like inches away from the goal, but they turn around because they didn't see anything right there in that moment. But the guys that kept pushing and persevering through, they end up you know, this is that time, you know. And I thinking for ourselves and finding ourselves in this quarantine, this is when we need to be the loudest, you know. This is when we need to go all in, you know. And instead of making one or two skits a week, we need to make 20 skits a week, you know what I mean? Like seriously. And I'm trying to get a interview with my boy Ati, because you guys are all in the same
Jimmy,
and he's the man. And I'll be seeing a lot of his stuff, and he represents a lot of the Pongo. And you know, those are the things that inspire me to, you know, continue to do what I do, you know, putting out work with the ink, and you yourself getting inked up. You know, you've been everywhere, man, and I'm so inspired. Like, you know, it's like, oh man, we the few and the minority in this, you know, we are continually staying persistent. We get us, you know, recognized, you know, and no matter what it is, you know, we all started as an amateur, you know, and professionals, they all start as amateurs, you know. I want to make a point to our audience and our viewers, our listeners, about what you said, following your passion, you know, following your dream, because, you know, you've did education in criminal justice, but you're taking a totally different path. And you know, share about that, because I know in the social media industry, the YouTube industry, there is some money to be made, you know, and that we don't always have to, like you say, go. I mean, yeah, it's a security to get that criminal justice background in your degree, you know. But I recently watched a video from one of the guys that are on Facebook, just talk about, dude, this guy's a straight A, and you know, growing up in elementary, high school, and college, wherever he was going through, he's a straight A student, you know, and he only went for accounting because he's trying to do what the culture wanted him to do, and the parents were forcing him to do, like, hey, go into accounting, get a degree in accounting, and he's got a master's in accounting or whatever. But my boy went straight, and now he's doing DJing because, and his message was just follow what you know that you're really happy doing, right?
Definitely.
And follow what you're happy doing. Do what you're right now, graduating high school. Go after what you dream and your what's gonna give you the most happiness. From the outside looking in, man, I'm impressed. I appreciate you guys' efforts in putting out videos, and because you guys are already doing a lot of things outside of just making skits. I mean, tell me about that. You guys are already getting sponsorships. How's that working out?
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, with the videos come like random people and an audience. You get an audience from doing a lot of say Hawaii skits, you know, Polynesian, anything that people can relate to. As long as it's relatable, yeah. You'll gain an audience of some sort, whether it be 2 people or 20,000 people. People are gonna watch it. So regardless, I feel that it definitely does. It definitely helps you kind of explore things that you didn't think was possible. It gives you a chance to inspire other people,
right?
You know, that have the same dreams and aspirations. With the sponsors, I mean, they've been reaching out to us here and there, whether it be to promote their company or whatever clothing line they just dropped, which is cool because, you know, you get free shirts and hats in exchange. Just all you got to do is make a stupid video. Like, oh, we can do that. But we've kind of gotten to the point where, you know, it's got to be more of a quality product that we drop. Like, if these people are willing to sacrifice, you know, giving their own products to us, like, we feel at least it should be a quality product that we give
right.
when we help promote them and all that. So, but yeah, sponsors have been cool. Sponsors have definitely been humbling. It's like you go from having to buy a bunch of shirts at like Ross and Walmart, and then now you don't really need to because these people are willing to provide it just so that they can get advertising basically for their stuff. So it's definitely been pretty cool. Having sponsors and being able to say you have a sponsor and stuff like that.
So your films that I follow, I see your Next Goal Wins. Is that the latest one?
Oh yeah, that's the latest project.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
I worked on. That one was remarkable. I don't know how to explain it. Like, just the experience, it just felt so close to home. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have the light shined on our people and our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, you got people that aren't even of the Samoan descent and they're playing on the team. You know, they're coming from all, like I said, from all walks of life, but they still like adapted the culture. They still, you know, took it in as their own. There's this one guy, he's my boy Lehi. He's full Tongan, speaks Tongan and everything, but he was one of the players on the team. He was one of our goalies.
Oh, in the movie.
Yeah, in the movie. Okay. And one thing that stuck out to me when we were filming on set, I guess a bunch of the kids, we were working with kids too. Uh-huh. Like, you got people that are actual, like, you know, actors, but with the extra side, you get any monkey in the barrel that they feel like, you know, that match that description. Yeah,
the description.
Yeah. And there was hella kids. There was like probably 4 or 5 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. They were young. And they're obviously they're immature. They're acting like little kids on set. So there was one day where I guess we were all kind of high stress levels. The shot wasn't really working out. And it was because the kids were just like kind of just mucking around, you know? They weren't really taking it seriously like all of us were trying to do. And this full Tongan guy, Lehi, he ends up coming up to the kids. He's like, hey, I understand you guys are young. I understand that this is all new to you. And it might not be your culture, because it came to a point where they were kind of like making fun, you know. They were really not taking it seriously. But he said, he's like, hey, I know you guys are young. I know you guys are just having fun. But being as I'm full Tongan and I'm playing as a Samoan soccer player, I'm going to play the best Samoan soccer player I can play, mm-hmm. because this is a beautiful story, and it really was a beautiful story about the American Samoan soccer team. So I feel like when he said that, a lot of them kind of did start to take it seriously and like actually embrace our culture. And you can see that from when we started filming to when we ended. We were filming for a good three months.
Wow.
Two or three months, just nonstop every single day. And we grew from being strangers to like a brothers. Like we literally all became real close. We were hanging out after the film. We still link up here and there.
Bro, that's powerful, bro.
It really was like, I don't think I'll ever, I know I just started in this whole industry thing with the movies and stuff, but I don't think I'll ever be on another set that close to my heart, you know, that close to home. The director was amazing. He's hilarious. He's probably the coolest director I'll ever work for. Taika Waititi.
Yeah,
that guy is hilarious. Like he's on 24/7. Like he does not shut off. He's like a quirky kind of dude, but he's a comedic genius. This guy was spitting out bombs, like for comedy at least.
Hey,
and he's making all these hits and turns.
So
mid film.
How's that work out for you now that you work with so many people? You've over here experienced a lot of these films and the production crews, and you know, has that opened your eyes to a different route? You know, instead of just doing skits, has that given you hope to kind of branch into the movie or whatever? Because I see over here you're doing agencies, Bliss Models and Talent. What is that? Is that your own agency or are you working for them?
Oh no, I'm working for them. So after I finished doing all the videos for a while, I took a little break and took a little hiatus, and I got inspired to, you know, I've always wanted to do acting, so maybe I should actually go for it. So I asked around what I should do, like what's the next steps? Because I've done extra work, like for years. I've done so much extra work, especially on Hawaii 5-0 and Magnum PI. Mm. And I've always wondered how you get an actual speaking role. Like, do they reach out to you?
Yeah.
Do you reach out to them? Right. What is that process to be able to do those things? And one of my friends that was in the industry, he ended up reaching out to me, and he's like, you know what, I can help you out. All you got to do is you go out for an agent, and that's all. But I mean, he didn't really explain it in full detail. He's like, here, he gave me his agent's information. He's like, here, email her saying you're seeking representation, and she'll email you back with like a date. And I was like, I was confused. It was like totally new to me. Like, do I audition? Am I preparing lines? What am I doing? And they're like, oh, you just email her and she'll email you back. So eventually I emailed her. She got right back to me. She set a date up to meet with her. So I ended up meeting with her on that day, and I'm sitting in the waiting room. It's all, like I said, it's all new to me. So I'm like, I'm scared. I'm nervous. I do really bad in front of like just speaking in front of people. I get so nervous. Mm. And I am sitting in the waiting room, and I see somebody else that's doing the same thing. They're going out for this agency as well. And I hear them talking to the agent like they're speaking lines. And I'm like, oh, we do have to have like a skit or something. We have to have some kind of lines. We have to have some kind of lines prepared. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, maybe I need to Google something. I'm going to Google something. So I Googled like a small little monologue that I tried to remember in the next 15 minutes, because in 15 minutes, it was my time to go up and talk to the agent. So 15 minutes passed by, and they end up coming to get me. And they're like, oh, here you go. We got you a set of lines. I'm like, oh, thank God. We got you a set of lines that you got to memorize. And it was four lines. It was four lines that I had to remember. I was like, bro, I got this. This is nothing. I can do this. So they gave me another 10 minutes to learn it. Mm-hmm. I ended up learning it, and I was like, oh, I got this. Let's go. So I get in front of the agent, and then she's like, okay, just read your lines to me. I'm like, okay. And my lines were, so I met this girl, right? We went to the movies. We had a good time. And after, oh boy, it was a good night. That's all. That's all I had to say. And I said it just like how I just said it to you. And She's like, okay, now I need you to change up the mood. I need you to change up the emotion in that. And I immediately, boom. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. I did not prepare for this, but yeah, I got it. And then I'm looking at her dead straight in the eye. I'm like, so met. And I'm trying to look at my lines because I went blank. I was like, wow, I did not expect her to throw that curveball at me. Long story short, I was denied. They didn't take me in. Again, another failure, man. They told me, they basically told me I need acting classes. And I was like, oh. And I was disheartened again. It was another roadblock for me, I felt, in life. And it was another time of reflection. And I went in a drought again. I took another 3-4 months off. Like, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? And it got to the point where the same friend that recommended me for that that agency ended up telling me, you need to get out of the dumps. You can't be feeling sorry for yourself anymore. If you really want this, you gotta go for it. Just try a different agency. I was like, you know what? Yeah, maybe it's time I stop feeling sorry for myself and I go for something new. So I ended up going for a new agency, and I didn't even have to audition nothing, which is what I loved. She took me in right away.
Wow.
And since the first audition she gave me was Hawaii 5-0.
Wow.
I had a Hawaii 5-0 audition, and I was frightened. I was frightened, but I ended up doing the audition. I had one line. I did it. I was going up against like the Hawaiian Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I was looking at my competition. It was only me and him in it. And I was like, my first audition, and I'm going against the Hawaiian He-Man. All right, bet. I can do this. So I'm going in there with, you know, confidence off the wall. I already know they're going to cast this guy, which they did. But after maybe 2 more weeks later, I got another audition for Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
And I ended up landing that. I ended up landing that audition.
Killed it.
So that's kind of where it all started out with this whole agency thing. She's been nothing but good to me, and everything that's on that resume,
yeah,
has been because of her.
Wow.
My agent Lashana, she got me the audition, and I've been going, and I'm currently waiting on one that I'm very hopeful for right now, because this one will definitely change the game for me, at least
change the trajectory of Russell's story. Oh, yeah. You're gonna be right there next to The time. Rock, bro. I mean, even better than that.
I'm trying so hard. I'm trying to make him appear, man. Hey, when you turn your idols,
you know, rivals into idols.
Co-workers.
No, co-workers.
Yeah.
He said appear.
Your idols into your co-workers.
You changed up this quote, right? I like that. Yeah, I like that.
I'm trying.
I like that. No, we dropped a lot of bars value in this interview. You know, and the realness is what I love the most about your story. You know, because no matter where you've tried to pursue, especially initially you wanted to do the football thing, and you know that door shut quickly. You switched up the game, and you did what you love. You know, and that's so powerful. That's so real. You know, Gary Vee, I follow his work. He talks about just being practical, and annoying. Your self-worth, yeah? You got to know what you're worth.
Yeah.
And only you can believe in what you're worth. You know what I mean? The first interview you did with the agency, they said, man, this guy doesn't know how to act. He needs to go back to...
This guy's trash.
This guy is trash.
Basically what they said.
And you know, he doesn't have the fundamentals of acting. But what is the fundamentals of acting if you think about it today? People are on social media getting millions and millions of followers, and they're building up, you know, their brand online, because they just won't quit, you know, and then they just won't stop, and that's the lion I see in you, and that's the message we want to share with the people listening in: not to quit, you know, not to give up, you know. When people say no the first time around, you know, keep pushing, especially if it's your dream, especially if it's your passion, especially if it's something you want to do in life. You know, and you don't have to make the millions of dollars to validate what you're doing. You know, if you're happy with, you know, for just providing, having food on your table, then that's what life is about. You know, some people are miserable at their 9-to-5 office job and they're still doing it, you know? Yeah. And they know deep down inside that they can go and, you know, be a zookeeper or something that makes them super happy that doesn't pay that much. I don't know. That's a crazy example. We don't have any zoos in Samoa, but you know what I mean? They could do something that's not as glorious as sitting behind a table in your office, you know, making so much money, because, you know, I deal with that too. But I also know, you know, you got to have your backup plan. You know, and you gotta be willing to grind and work at whatever job to provide until you hit that break you've always wanted, right? Yeah, and that's still what you're doing. So I'm super honored to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
The example of endurance and perseverance, and I hope that it inspires you to keep pushing forward with your videos, bro. Because, you know, people are especially in this time, way more available to watch videos and movies online.
Yeah.
And so they're waiting.
There's no excuse now.
I know they're hungry.
They have all the time in the world.
They're waiting for Russell's new video.
I wish it were true.
keep me posted on those videos.
Definitely.
So, yeah, we talked about a lot of things, bro. You've shared a lot. You had some deep moments in your life, and I'm grateful for that. Is there anything else you want to share, you know, to your people, to whoever's following you?
Where
do they find you?
Where do they find me? Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, on the side of the road asking for money, anywhere. You can find me anywhere, bro.
He's available.
I mean, I'm available. If your dreams are something that you are scared of pushing for, then that's good. It's a really good thing. If your dreams don't scare you, then it's not big enough.
Amen.
I've seen that quote
Amen.
How many times, Amen. But that is so true. And if you're not scared to jump off the deep end and just go for it, then maybe you just need to sit down and reevaluate everything. Like, I felt like this is the perfect time. Like you were saying, Joe, this is the perfect time to refocus. Refocus on where you want to go in life, what you want to do with your life. We've had more than enough time to even learn a whole new skill, you know, a new skill set, because we've had so much free time since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
But you have no excuse if you are really trying to do something different and you're not satisfied. That's another thing. I cannot do something that I don't enjoy doing for the rest. I can't imagine doing something I hate or like I'm not satisfied with, which is why I'm kind of taking that leap of faith, you know. I'm still living with my parents. They're in that older stage too. So that's kind of been one of my goals. I wanted to always take care of them and make sure I can provide eventually. And there's times where I'm like, okay, maybe I should go out and get a real 9-to-5. But what's a real 9-to-5? You know, what's a real 9-to-5 if you don't believe you're doing what you're meant to do?
I'm just gonna throw this out there, bro. This is what I don't know. I like to give people suggestions on things that I would love to see. I would love to see if you were to email that guy and be like, hey, I got a one-way ticket to come get mentored by you.
Tiger ATT.
Would you do it?
Oh, that would be sick.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
This is life right now.
This is the life we're living. I mean, especially with COVID is finished, but I'm saying, because, you know, I follow these guys that talk about it a lot. Like Gary Vee is like, hey, you got to email all the people you want to work for and be like, go work for them for free. I mean, yeah, granted, you got responsibilities, but if you're willing to take 6 months off and just freaking fly over to New Zealand and just be like, hey, let me just pick your brain and I will come out here and whatever, work for you for free this time, you know, to get mentored. Putting that on your resume, you know what I mean? Especially, we can't get stuck in Hawaii, bro.
Yeah.
Like, legit. Like, it's super expensive. We can't afford to live out there. So we're almost like, almost feels like we're already at a disadvantage compared to the rest of the world, right? You think about that? Like, you live in Texas.
You live
in Texas or somewhere like that where housing is cheap, and you get like a mansion for the price of a room in Hawaii.
That's crazy. No, that's real life, man. That's real life. This whole cost of living over here ain't no joke, man. I think it's like, I don't know how much they pay it. I think they pay like $2, I've seen, for like a gallon of milk. Over here, it's like $8. Hey,
if your environment is restricting you too, bro. That's all I'm saying. You got to get out, you know. Maybe you're not all the way out yet, because maybe New Zealand is waiting for you. I'm telling you. I'm speaking life. Tell your agent, all right? When you make it big, because The Rock can take over the United States, and you're going to take over the New Zealand, bro, and Australia's. Don't forget the little people out here.
Never. I would never forget. Never forget where I'm from, man. That's the one thing. I love that. I mean, I'm very proud of my Samoan culture. I think that's one thing I wish I had. I wish I was able to. I was bilingual, you know. I wish I was able to. And I've been trying to learn it, but I wish I grew up kind of already, you know. My parents taught me and stuff. But that's probably the one thing especially on this film that we just did, everyone's speaking in Samoan, and it's all like, I'm trying to put it all together. I'm like, okay, you want me to go? Okay, but there's an airplane. You just said airplane? Is that what you said? Oh, no. Okay. And I think that's the one thing I wish I could definitely, you know, I wish I had that. A lot of these kids of our, you know, the Samoan kids, they can do. That's definitely a golden aspect to having a good skill, like to be bilingual like that. Like, that's something that a lot of people like me too, that are kind of like, they only know English. They just know English, but they don't know their own native tongue. I've seen it all. And I think that's if you can do bilingual stuff like that, man, that's a good thing to put on your resume, especially if you want to get into acting.
Let's not make that discouraging. Yeah. I mean, I feel what you're saying, because it's not even easy. I mean, I have my girls that I have to force to speak Samoan, and that's real talk. But when I grew up, I didn't really.
Yeah.
That's all I had around me. You know, it's your environment. But because they're going to private school now, they're not forced to speak Samoan at their school. I gotta actually implement it at home. My mother-in-law and people at home, they all speak Samoan. But because they're so comfortable in not speaking Samoan, you know, we have to force that upon them. And it's a constant reminder, it's a constant battle. And I know, like, there's so many apps and so many groups that you can get into, and you can get it. I mean, and anybody can get it, you know? And we can't let that slip away, because that's the real thing that makes us unique too, right? In this global world that everything is trying to be one,
makes it rich.
Only one language, and whatever our uniqueness is in our language and our culture. You know.
Amen. Amen, bro.
Yeah, I want to be respectful of your time. You said where are they gonna find you at today? On your all your YouTubes, or you got like Facebook and Instagram? Which is that?
I'm mainly on Facebook, Instagram. It's just, I made the most creative name I could think of, Russell Sotelli.
Nobody's got the same.
It's really not that hard. So when I started branding myself, I was like, who do I want to be known as? Do I want to be known as Samoan Man 101, or do I want to be, you know? I tried to think of it. I was like, no, I'm Russell Sotelli. I shouldn't be trying to be somebody I'm not. So. That was initially you can find me on Instagram if you want to just like hit that block button. Like,
follow,
I want to see these guys
follow.
But Instagram is my main source I usually use on the daily to get in touch with people.
Yes, there you go, everybody. Any last words, my brother?
Just thank you so much for hosting this podcast, bro. This is like one of the first ones I've ever done. So it was probably really rough to do, but just thank you so much, bro.
No worries.
Bro, this is really beautiful what you're doing. Yeah. You know, I feel like you said, this is the time to inspire our people, to make them feel that you can do anything in life. I was going to say something else. If my dumb self can you know, get rejected 5 million times, I can stand back up and, you know, pursue what I believe in 5 million more times.
Amen. So, amen. You know,
I really appreciate this, Joe. Thank you so much.
Awesome job. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Share this with all your people. And like Russell said, you know, keep standing back up. I'm going to change your quote. I'm gonna change your quote. No matter how many times you get rejected, keep standing back up.
Yep, exactly. You hang around the barbershop, eventually you're gonna get a haircut. That's Denzel Washington.
All right, Uso. Hey, you take care of yourself. Be safe out there.
You too.
I'm excited
Uso,
to see all the next episodes, all the next videos, and especially this new video. And with the movie that's coming out where you're on it with Waitiki.
Yeah, I can't wait. And that's on a global stage. I can't wait for the whole world to see our culture. That's what I'm excited about.
Well, I can't wait, man. And make sure to follow Russell on all his platforms. Make sure to send a like, subscribe, and you know, put the Uso on the map wherever you're at. New Zealand, if you're listening from Australia, this is the Kingdom Gains podcast with Russell Satelli. Thanks, brother.